I was just listening to Ronnie's lesson this morning, and I was wondering who's speaking today, and I realized it was going to be me. This is the fourth Sunday, and I was thinking since I had gave two messages last week that there was a different speaker today, but then I began to think differently, so I have a challenge here to give a lesson today. So I do have a lesson that I've been working on. That it might be a short lesson today, but I'm going to do that. I want to thank Ronnie for his lesson today. That was a great lesson, Ronnie. I appreciate that. And I want to say that I really, really had a good time in Phoenix last weekend. I just love those people in Phoenix. Everybody was so wonderful and such great hospitality. And just the Lord bless all those people who put on that great conference. A lot of work went into it. A lot of great speakers, a lot of great audience, and it was a great thing. So I had a question this week by someone in me who is fairly new to the Bible study. Many of you know Peter Redman in Peru, Indiana. He has the Bible Forum. He has a nephew named Peter Gillies in the Netherlands, and Gillies, A-N-O-U-K, Anouk. And Anouk has a lot of good questions for us in our studies, and she's an engineer. She's living here in Indianapolis now, working for an engineering company, working on inspecting bridges and designing bridges. And she has a friend that she met whose name is Sam. And Sam is trying to understand the mystery as well. He's been coming to the Bible studies with Anouk. And Sam has an uncle who's a Catholic and is putting a lot of pressure on Sam, telling him he's crazy and these people don't know what they're talking about and so forth. So anyway, Sam had a question, and my study today is going to be try to answer his question about the mystery. Let's put a date stamp on this talk today. Today is October 27th, and this is Al Nass in Indianapolis, Indiana. And let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful Bible that you've given us to try to figure out. It's taken us about 2,000 years to start to figure out this word of truth that you've given us. So we apologize for being kind of slow. But we ask you to be with listeners today and the listeners on this audio recording, that they may get a better understanding of what you are trying to teach us and what we are needing to learn. In the precious name of your Son and our Savior and our Head, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, the question is, Sam had a question, and of course Sam's an engineer like me and Ronnie and Barney and Philip. All of us engineers have a lot of questions. What is the answer to the mystery? He's trying to figure out, okay, if there's a mystery, what is the answer to the mystery? And this is a very important question. It's a very valid question for people who are being presented with the doctrine of the body of Christ as a mystery for the first time. So I can understand where he's coming from, and I appreciate his question. And so I would like to say two things, or maybe three things, first of all. Number one is, the meaning of the word mystery is not a riddle. It's not something mysterious. It's not something to be solved like an equation or like a problem. But it's a profound secret, something wholly unknown and cautiously kept concealed. In the Bible, it is anything in the character or attributes of God. There's a lot of things about God we maybe don't know or don't understand. And it could be in the administration of his divine providence. Maybe we don't totally understand God's overall plan and how we fit into that plan. So God's going to deem proper what he's going to reveal in his plan, and he's going to deem how it's going to fit into the purpose of his ages. So it's not revealed to man unless until God reveals it to him. Number two, this mystery can only be spiritually revealed to a saved person by God. We get that from Ephesians 1:17. When Paul prays, after he reveals some of the details of the mystery in the first part of Ephesians, in Ephesians 1:17, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, or the precise knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or having been enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the most holy place, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to usward who believe it, according to the working of his mighty power. Also in Colossians 1:9, Paul prays, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So this is something that can only be revealed by God. Only a saved person has a divine spirit. Paul calls these saved persons saints. Then that saved person must acknowledge and believe the secret by faith. Therefore, Paul calls these the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that words in Christ Jesus, that says a lot. I think my is going to be what that means to be in Christ or in Christ Jesus. His good works going forward, this saved person who believes by faith, are evidence by how this secret has confirmed his new position in Christ and his position in God's overall plan. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is the way he approaches life, the way a person approaches love, the way that a person approaches faith, the way that that person approaches worship, the way that person approaches his hope. All these things will change in accordance with the new position this person has when he understands and accepts the mystery or the secret by faith. Number three is, as soon as the secret was revealed to Paul, Satan also knew it. Once it was revealed, Satan had access to this information. Satan immediately went to work to prevent anyone from understanding the secret. He is a master of deceit and lies. He works mostly in religion and perverted Bibles. He promotes traditions and doctrines of men for the sole reason to keep us from knowing the truth of the Scriptures. Christ represents the truth, and truth is a holy thing. So, everything about this mystery is spiritual and invisible. So, this mystery is about a spiritual body. It's not a physical body or an earthly body, as we would read in maybe Corinthians. So the body of Christ is not a denomination, it's a church, it's not a religion. It's made up of individuals chosen by God before the overthrow of the world as part of a calling or a calling out. The Greek word is ekklesia. And these are people are being built together for an habitation of God in the Spirit, says Ephesians 2:22. It is not an assembly because we are not yet all assembled together. We will be assembled together with Christ, our head, when he appears in glory, and we appear with him in glory, as stated in Colossians 3:4. And this epiphania is totally different from his coming, which is the parousia. Does God keep secrets? If he does, then why does he? God has an enemy. God is at war with an enemy. God does not want to reveal all his plans to the enemy. Whenever the enemy thinks he has the upper hand, God reveals a secret aspect of his plan to regain the upper hand. So if you study the Bible, every time a mystery is revealed, it's because Israel failed, or Satan had a hand in causing Israel to fail. So Satan thinks he has a victory. At the end of Acts, when Israel would not accept or acknowledge Christ as the Messiah, after all the evidence they had, and after all of Paul's ministry and the apostles' ministries, and after Paul spent a whole day, morning till evening, testifying Christ out of Moses and the prophets, they still wouldn't accept him. So, this is when Israel failed, and Satan thought he won a victory. And before he could even give a fist pump, Paul said, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." So, not only now is the salvation sent to Israel, as in the Acts, now it's sent to everybody. And I can imagine Satan saying, "Oh, wow, now what do I do?" So it's always got another plan up his sleeve that Satan doesn't know about. And sometimes that's why it's hard for us to understand the scriptures, because we are dealing in these plans of war between God and Satan and what's going on here and there. So my son used to ask me years ago, he said, "Dad, why does God make the Bible so hard to understand?" Well, it's because there's an enemy that we have to deal with. Jesus told his disciples that he spoke in parables so that they would know the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, and the others would not know them. Mysteries in the Bible are not for everyone. That is why this mystery of the body of Christ is not revealed to everyone. It is only revealed by God to whom he chose before the overthrow of the world. I cannot reveal this mystery to anyone. You cannot reveal this mystery to anyone. We can point it out. Paul wanted to make all saints see the mystery, but only God can do that. Only God can reveal the mystery to someone. And we have to understand that. We have to be patient. And as Ronnie found out, sometimes it's not the person you're talking to. It might be somebody like Chip in the background who's listening, who's more interested in what's being said than the person Ronnie was talking to. Now, I would have to say that every saved person is eligible to be a member of the secret body of Christ. Every saved person is eligible. Just like every person ever born is eligible to be saved. But they have to acknowledge that Christ is their Savior and He shed His blood for their sins on the cross. Simple as that. And anybody, and there's billions of them all over the world, simply won't acknowledge that Jesus was their Savior, they're not saved. They're ungodly people. Satan knew Jesus was the Son of God. Satan knew all these things about Jesus, but he will admit that Christ died. Of course, he's a spiritual being and not like us. But many refuse to accept and acknowledge that the body of Christ is a post-Acts secret revealed to Paul. And it's a special call out for a heavenly hope and a purpose with a prize. And I'll say this over and over again, that unless a person understands that something happened at the end of Acts, a major change in God's plan happened at the end of Acts, they will never see any other differences that we're talking about. They would just throw it all together in a blender, and whatever comes out, that's what they do. Now, Ephesians 1:1-14 defines the revealed secret called the mystery of the body of Christ. What is contained in these 14 paragraphs, 14 verses, has never before seen in scriptures. Never said that about any of the people of God before in the scripture. This is something completely new and different. Completely new and different. It's what I call an advanced position in Christ for any saint who can accept it and acknowledge it. It's a blessed promotion. It has nothing to do with Israel. It is a high calling of God, as Paul calls it in Philippians. It's a high calling. It's not an evolution of the body of believers in the Acts period, the body that's described in 1 Corinthians 12. This is something totally new. Paul even had to accept this, as he explains in Philippians 3:12-14. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, in my opinion, what I think Paul is saying here, I'm learning something totally new. And I'm going to forget all those things that I knew before in order to accept these things that I'm learning that are new. And I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. And I'm going to press ahead, not knowing everything, but I'm learning as I go by faith, and I'm going ahead for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I had to leave the Catholic Church when I realized Christ was my Savior, because they don't teach that. The Pope recently said that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is outside of the Church is highly dangerous. That's a paraphrase of what they just said not long ago. The two largest religions in the world are Roman Catholicism and Orthodox Christianity. And I don't think either one of them ever talk about salvation in Jesus Christ. But they call themselves Christians. They call themselves the true church. They call themselves the body of Christ. And yet, it's all religion. To them, the mysteries are sacraments. And I don't know why baptism would be a mystery. Baptism is very highly spoken of in the scriptures. So, the Lord's Supper, the communion, why would that be a mystery? It's spoken of highly in the scriptures. But anyway, the Lord has a purpose for all these people, and I accept that. And I'm glad He called me out of it. I got into traditional Christianity, what you might want to call it, Protestant or independent Christianity for 20 years. Went from church to church looking for something but not knowing what I was looking for. And when I left, quit going to church at age 50, that's when God answered my prayer, Lord, which of these denominations do you think is the right one? And His answer to my prayer was, none of them. I will show you my church. And then He started to teach me right division and dispensational truth and the mystery of the body of Christ. So, even Paul had to forget what he had been taught before in order to learn new things from the Lord. I had to quit going to church altogether before the Lord would open my eyes to see the mystery. He knew I was ready. He knew I was searching for the truth. In Ephesians 1:15-23, Paul prays that God would give the reader the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the precise knowledge of Him, the eyes of your mind and your heart having been enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the most holy heavens and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe it according to the work of the power of His might. That's the same power that He used to raise Christ from the dead. That same power is the power He uses us to be able to see the dispensation of the mystery. That's awesome. That's amazing. It's hard to comprehend. As we read Ephesians and Colossians, we will see many other aspects of this secret. For example, this secret was hidden God from the beginning of the world until it's now revealed to Paul. Ephesians 3:3, and in Colossians 1:26, it said it was hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints. These are the ones who are being written to here. The faithful in Christ Jesus are those who, in my opinion, have acknowledged the truth of the mystery. John 16:13 tells us that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth and will show you things to come. It's through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit, that God reveals this mystery to someone. When He thinks they're ready. Sometimes we want to kind of force it on people. Sometimes we want to go after people and show them this thing and get them excited about it, and they don't seem to get excited about it. Well, maybe it's not their time. Maybe 20 years from now they'll see it. Maybe a year from now. We don't know. We have to be patient. It's God's church. He chose the people. He knows who they are, and somehow He'll bring them to us so they can see the mystery of the body of Christ. This body of Christ is a spiritual, concorporate body. That is, all of its members are equal with Christ as our head. We are incorporated into the body of Christ, but we are concorporate members. We are all equal. It is not like a physical body, as in 1 Corinthians 12. Which body of Christ has members in particular, including eyes and ears and parts of the head, which are allegories of the gifts of the Spirit. The intent of the body of Christ is explained in Ephesians 3:10-12. That now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the ecclesia. Now the King James Church, it would be appropriate, I think, to put in there the body of Christ. By or through the might be made known by or through the body of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose in which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. So, this is, I believe, going on right now. Ever since Charles Welsh began to understand this over 100 years ago, and what Oscar Baker taught, and what Barnabas Bagby taught, and what Ronnie is teaching, and what the teachers are teaching here, we are right now making this wisdom of God, this manifold wisdom of God, we're making it known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And I believe we will continue to do that in the future when we are there ourselves as part of the members of the body of Christ. So with that, I think I'll end with a study for today that, in conclusion, it's not our doing. The mystery is a secret. There's no answer to it. It's not a puzzle to be solved. It's just a secret of God, a secret that he is revealing people as he see fits, when he see fits, and the time is now. And as I made alluded to in the conference, that, you know, back when Paul wrote this stuff, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't have all manuscripts. They had bits and pieces, and I can understand why maybe they didn't see what Paul was writing about and talking about. There wasn't even Anastasius put together in his Easter letter of 367 A.D. all the books we have in the Bible today. And Bibles weren't even printed until the 1500s and 1600s. So it's amazing if anybody would have seen the mystery back when Paul revealed it, because they just didn't have all the pieces we have today. They don't have a book we can flip back and forth between Ephesians and Colossians and, you know, Daniel and the Hosea and all the pieces that we'd put this together with. They didn't have that in those days. And by that, I believe that the revelation of the mystery is for our time. Is for this time now, shortly before the latter days begin with Israel. And I don't know how many are going to be in the body, but probably not a lot. But I believe it's one of three bodies that are going to be in the whole family of God. There's three bodies or three churches, if you want to call it. Said in my lesson last week that Matthew 16:18, when Christ said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, he was talking about the church of Israel that's going to end up in the holy city, New Jerusalem. And if you want to say that the church is the bride of Christ, then that's the church that'll be the bride of Christ. It'll be adorned as a bride. It'll be a wife of the Lamb. Those in the holy city, New Jerusalem. So, if the church is the bride of Christ, it's going to be that church. There's a church which is the body of Christ. It's an invisible church. It's a spiritual church. And our citizenship is in the heaven above heavens. And then there's other groups of people that are not chosen to either one of those other positions that will be on the new earth. The meek shall inherit the earth, and they will inherit the land. And there will be, the body of Christ will be the husband, the groom, the bridegroom, and in the holy city, New Jerusalem, will be the bride or the wife, and these other people will be the guests of the wedding. So, not everybody believing, every Christian is not a member of the body of Christ as they teach today. They have to rightly divide the word of truth according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these things you teach us and bless us with. We thank you more than we can possibly thank you for choosing us to be members of the body of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless all these folks today and answer all their prayers and bring us those people that need to see the dispensation of the mystery that you have chosen. Bring them to us so that we can teach them and make them perfect. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.